So this morning, let's focus our attention on the goodness of God. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Lord, we thank you for your goodness in every way. We thank you that we can say God is good all the time. Lord, because you are, even although we may not kind of feel that sometimes, maybe we feel that you're far away, maybe we feel as if you're not really being good to us at the moment, Lord, but your goodness never ceases. It's always expressing itself to us in so many different ways. Help us to experience it and help us to see it, Lord, even when we're unaware or not expecting it at any point in time. We just commit that to you in Jesus' name. Amen. What is the goodness of God? Well, the goodness, friends, of God is that character in which he displays his kindness, his expression to us, which helps us see what is in his very heart. Of course, we see that so much in the cross as well. One of the reasons why we know that is in Psalm, it tells us, the fool says there is no God. The fool says in his heart there is no God. They corrupt and their ways are vile. There is none of them that do good. And the opposite of that, friends, is who God is. Because the fool says there's no God, but the opposite is the one who is wise, who acknowledges that there is a God. Because, friends, they see that God is there. Psalm 119 verse 68 reminds us, you are good. Friends, God is good intrinsically. There is nothing that God ever does that is not good. And we'll see that a little bit later on as I explain that a little bit further on. But his goodness isn't only what lies in him. His goodness is what is expressed towards us. Because Psalm 119 verse 68 says, and what you do is good. So it explains, it encapsulates the goodness of God in such a wonderful way. You are good, but what you do is good as well. And then the psalm verse carries on and says, teach me your law, teach me your decrees, or show me, Lord, how good you are. So God's goodness, friends, is who he is within himself and how he expresses that towards us. So how do we know that? How do we see the goodness of God? Well, first of all, we see it in creation. In Genesis chapter 1, where the story of creation is so wonderfully explained to us in that way. I don't want to get into the technical details of how long it took, or you know what the exact order was, or how it exactly happened. But all I know, friends, is at the end of every day, after God had done what he had done on that particular day, it says this, and the Lord looked upon it, and it was good. At the end of every creation event, friends, God says that phrase. The scriptures tell us that phrase. And God looked upon it, and it was good. Friends, creation is part of God's goodness. As we look around us, as we look at the wonder of creation, I've often wondered what are the things I would do if I had lots of money. Do you think like that sometimes? What would you do if you had lots of money? Well, one thing I'd love to do is travel more. Because we've had the privilege, Patricia and I have had the privilege of traveling to some places But friends, there's so many incredible places in this world, aren't there? The one thing that kind of makes social media and all these things that we're able to see these days kind of sometimes makes them worthwhile is the wonderful pictures that we get, don't we? You see parts of this world that you never knew existed, and you're able to be reminded on a regular basis of the goodness of God. But friends, the psalmist also reminds us that we are part of that creation. When God made us, He made a good thing. You know, sometimes when you stand in the front of the mirror, you may not think that's such a good thing standing there, is it? Get a bit scary when you look in the mirror, don't you? But the psalm reminds us, says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The work of your hands, I know that full well. Friends, sometimes we just need to be reminded that God knows us. God created us. God made us. God loves us just the way we are. So His goodness is seen in His creation. But His friend, His goodness is also seen in how He expresses that towards His creatures. Psalm 136 verse 25 says, you give food to every creature. Friends, we're reminded that there's not a sparrow that falls to the ground that God doesn't know about. God knows about every single creature. Psalm 145, 16 says, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living creature. Matthew 5, verse 45 says, the Lord causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends the rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Friend, God is so good that He even loves His enemies. Luke chapter 6 reminds us of this. Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Isn't it amazing, friends, that God is still kind to a world that seems to hate Him more and more? In the world in which we're living in, more and more people seem to be turning their back on God, cursing God, using His name in vain. And yet, friends, God is still good to them. The rain still fell on everybody during this last week. Every one of us could thank the Lord for His wonderful provision. As you ride down to East London, I know for all of us as we pass Aschleicher's Dam there, it's always the measure for me of the blessing of the Lord, isn't it? But you know, when you come back from East London, when you come back from East London, you can't see the dam, but you can see the other side of the highway, can't you? And the other side of the highway, I don't know if you've seen how tall the mealies are this year. They're just this high, man. When I was at school, I was an actor in a play called Oklahoma. And there's a line there that says, the corn is as high as an elephant's eye. Remember that song? I'm sure some of you know that song. And when I look at that, I'm reminded of the corn is as high as an elephant's eye. Because friends, God's good. You know, we often complain that there isn't enough food in this world. But the reality is there's more than enough food The problem is getting it to the places where it needs to be. That's the problem. The problem isn't that there isn't enough food. There's abundance of food in this world. Scientists have been predicted that this world can stand up to 10 billion people before we'll start really feeling the effects of overpopulation. So we're at 8 now, is it? Somewhere around there. I think it's 8, just gone past 8 billion. We've still got another 2 billion to go before we need to worry about the fact that we're overpopulated. There is enough food, friends. It's just getting it to the place where it needs to be. Friends, God's goodness isn't shown only in His creation, not only shown in His provision on a daily basis. God's goodness is seen in the wonderful way in He provides through our common pleasures. I shared a little story on my devotion this last week of just how good God was to me. I really felt God's goodness this week. It's what probably prompted me to preach on this. Whenever Patricia goes away, I mentioned that I often go and buy myself some curry. Because she doesn't like hot curry. I like hot curry. So when I make curry at home, I always make it mild. But I always go, there's a shop down Alexander Road, not Alexander, it's this Cambridge Road here. And then I saw there was a new shop at the mall there, at the Pick and Pay Mall there. So I thought I'd go there, and I was very disappointed because in the end they only had a kind of chicken curry, but it really wasn't the best curry in the world. And the next day, James came to visit me. It had been his birthday the day before. And Armini had made some nice curry for them, and he brought me a bowl of curry. Well, I had curry on Monday night, I had curry on Tuesday night, I had curry on Wednesday night. I liked it so much that I made myself some curry yesterday as well. Friend, God is good. Just even in the flavor but tastes that we, you know, that's the way God shows His goodness to us in small ways. Psalm 145:9 says, "The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made." The incredible thing, friends, is that God is good even to those who are wicked. Isn't that incredible? Listen to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says this: "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anybody to perish, but everybody to come to repentance." Wouldn't it be great if Jesus came back today? But you know, we need to remember, friends, there are many unsaved people in this world. And God delays returning until more can be reached with the gospel. That's the expression of God's goodness. Friend, you may have been a recipient of that. Sometimes we forget that we desperately needed God in our own lives, isn't it? God reached out into our lives, even after years of maybe rejecting Him, after years of turning our back on Him. Friend, God was patient with us. Let's pray that God's patience would extend to others who may not have come into a saving knowledge of Him. Friend, let's never forget God is delaying coming until as many as He has touched and put His hand upon are called into His kingdom and part of His glorious family. But there's a fifth way in which God shows His goodness. His goodness, friend, is seen when He sent Christ. Listen to what Galatians chapter 4 verse says. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And Luke chapter 2 says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his goodness rests, his favor rests. Friends, the coming of Jesus is not only the ultimate expression of God's love to us, but it's also the ultimate expression of God's goodness toward us. Because without Jesus coming into our hearts and lives, without Jesus coming in to touch us and draw us, friends, we would be destined for a Christless eternity as well. So what should come out of that? Well, first of all, friends, we need to ask ourselves on a regular basis, am I grateful for the goodness to me? What does God's goodness mean to me? How does it express itself in my own life? You know, sometimes we forget things. The story told of a pastor who asked one of the elders to pray one day. So he stood up to pray and he said, Lord, I hate flour. Oh, the pastor thought, what's happening now? And he said, Lord, I hate salt. The pastor was getting a bit concerned. Then he said, Lord, I really hate buttermilk. But you know, Lord, when you add them together, they make scones. And I love scones. See, friends, sometimes we kind of want to pick and choose what God's goodness is towards us, isn't it? Sometimes God brings things into our lives which we don't always understand. But friends, when God puts it all together, when God puts our lives together, when we get to the end of our lives and we look back a little bit, then we begin to understand the goodness of God, isn't it? When you're going through the difficult times, you don't always think about it. But why should we do it? Why should we be grateful and why should we be good? Well, first of all, friends, it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. When God comes into your life, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One of the expressions, friends, of Christianity, one of the expressions of faith, is goodness. Friends, we should be known as people who are good towards each other. I've got a little bugbear, and Patricia knows what one of my bugbears is. I'm really concerned about the publicity the gift of the givers are getting in our country. The gift of the givers, friends, is the Muslim organization, Islamic organization. Why isn't the Red Cross? Why aren't local churches being given the same exposure in public as the gift of the givers? Friends, we don't do good things because of exposure. We don't do good things so that we can feel good about the good things we do. We should be doing good things because God is good to us. But friends, it's about time we made our voice heard. When the gift of the givers gives, you know, when you actually measure what Christians are doing in this country, They are doing immeasurably more than the gift of the givers could ever have done or ever do. But let's make our voice be heard. Let's tell others about the goodness of God. I don't want to decry the work that the gift of the givers is doing. They're doing a good work. Don't misunderstand me. But friends, people must see that we as Christians are living out the fruit of the Spirit. And secondly, we need to display an attitude of gratitude. The Psalms remind us in Psalm 107, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. C.H. Spurgeon, the famous Baptist preacher, once said this: when others behave badly to us, it should only stir us up the more heartily to give thanks to God, because he is good. And when we ourselves are conscious that we are far from being good, we should only the more reverently bless him that he is good. We must never tolerate an instant unbelief as to the goodness of the Lord. Whatever else may be questioned, there is absolutely, this is absolute certain, that God is good. Friends, regardless of what may happen, we may not experience, we may not feel the goodness of God. It doesn't decry his goodness. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us. Your goodness expressed in so many ways. In health, in provision, in care, in comfort, in salvation, in security, in a sense of well-being. Whatever, Lord, we may be experiencing, we thank you, Lord, that it all comes from you. Sometimes, Lord, when it doesn't feel like you're doing a good thing, help us, Lord, to learn the lesson so that we may see what you're driving us towards. Help us to reflect, Lord, and to express your goodness to the world around us. We pray that in Jesus' name, for his glory. Amen.